and welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. This is Dustin Nation. So our birthday's coming up, our 1 year, I guess, birthday anniversary of the pod, and we wanted to give you guys some gifts. So we've got a run of four different guests coming on the show, and this is week one of that. This week we've got for you Reggie Cannon, the man who just scored his first MLS goal on Saturday. I'm pretty sure he saw us on his schedule and thought, I'm going to give those guys a birthday gift or not. So it was just me this week. Tristan's air conditioner went out. He's in his house dealing with hot children and a wife and dogs. And so #pray for Tristan. And so just me. And I had a pretty great conversation with Reggie. Super nice guy. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Reggie Cannon. You're listening to the Dallas Soccer Show with Dustin Nation and Tristan Vick. Hey, Reggie, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem. Glad to be here.
I know it's been quite the busy couple days for you, so I'm really thankful for you spending your time with us tonight.
No problem.
So I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about your weekend. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It means a lot.
Yeah, it was super exciting. And I just like to point out that we had you booked before you scored the goal. And so we loved you before the goal.
That's even better.
Yeah, man. So I guess we'll start by talking about the goal. For strikers, you know, they've got that instinct of just, shooting. They can know where they're at around the goal. But defenders, you guys have to be kind of, you're kind of more purposeful when you shoot. Tell me about that goal and like what was going on through your head and if anything was going through your head, and just tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah. I mean, on that goal, I honestly wasn't thinking, most of the time I'm consciously thinking about what my next move is going to be. But when I got that ball, I just wasn't thinking. It was just instinct. It was just an act. And, I was probably more surprised than anyone when it went in. You could tell by my celebration. I mean, I was just as surprised as everyone else. It was just one of those things where something takes over your body and you're grateful for it.
Yeah, I think that was the best part. I think the goal was great and it was beautiful, but the celebration was really fun to watch. Just that pure emotion, man.
Yeah.
So that goal, like, I feel like several of the players on the team have scored goals like that recently. I think Maxi has kind of cut in on his right foot and scored like that. And is that yours was similar, just on your left foot? Is that something you guys have been practicing at, or is it just kind of worked out that way?
No, I mean, honestly, it just worked out that way. I mean, most of the time I find myself going to the right and having a shot in training, but I mean, I've been working on my left, but not in shooting from distance with my left. I mean, it was just something that happened, but it was just a great moment.
Yeah. Well, here's to more of that.
Same. I hope so.
All right. So, let's harken you back to the days before you became a pro, and let's kind of talk about your path to the pros and a little bit about your time in the academy and stuff. So if you don't mind.
Yeah. I mean, coming up from I used to play for Solar Chelsea pre-academy when I was 13-14, and then I mean, I went to SC Dallas invited me. I was currently playing center back at Solar, and I've always wanted to be in the attack somehow. I would always find a way as a center back, but SC Dallas came in and they said they had an interest in me and thought I could be an attacking right back and I could have a chance here. And, we went to watch some of the trains to see what we were getting into. And then we watched some of the first team trains. There was like 17-year-old kids, 18-year-old kids training with these guys. And I looked at my mom. I was like, Mom, I don't know if I can do that. That seems crazy. 17-year-olds training with Fabian Castillo and some of the best players in the league, Mauro Diaz and Arruti and all these guys. And to me, it was like, I don't know if I can do this. But coming up to the academy, I started to develop more and more, training a lot with the first team, training maybe three times a day. I would just push my body to insane amounts, and it all worked out in the end. But before I went to UCLA, I was offered a contract. They wanted me to stay at that time, they didn't think I was going to play right off the bat, but they said, uh-huh. we see potential in you, you know? And I turned the contract down, you know, everyone thought differently, but I honestly think I had to go to college to develop to the next step. I didn't think I was one of those players that could go straight from the academy to the first team, because people really, really underestimate the distance between the two. It's a mm-hmm. it's an ocean. It's a huge gap. And you know, once I started, I was thinking about the conscious decisions. My parents were with me and they thought the same. And once I came back from college, you know, it was a rough year. Last year, I wasn't playing. I wasn't really involved. But I kept working hard. I stayed later, did extra, and I kept going and going. And it finally worked out in the end.
Yeah. So you talked about, you know, kind of your earlier days with Solar Chelsea. I think there's some YouTube videos out there where you can hear what I think are your parents, you know, yelling at you and encouraging you when you make a run or play. Yeah. So if that is your family yelling at you, I've read, you know, you kind of got a quite the athletic family, and you know, you kind of talked about your brothers mm-hmm. and sisters today earlier on the FCD Live. Talk about a little bit about your family. Is it a big source of motivation to push your game, you, or they, you know, how do they support you?
Yeah, my brother, I mean, he's always been there for me, you know, and he pushed me to keep going no matter when things got tough, you know. And my mom, she's always been the person that you could see on my celebration. I was pointing to God, but I also pointed to my mom, because she's like, as everyone says, it's your mom, no one can replace you, you know, and that's the truth. I mean, she was always there for me, and she just kept pushing me. She believed in me when no one else did, especially in that rough year last year, you know, where I had people telling me I should have stayed in college, and people telling me I was too young to play. I was too inexperienced, and mm-hmm. you know, all these stuff coming in. And my mom just told me to keep going. I promise you it's going to pay off in the end. And even though I haven't really accomplished anything yet, I mean, it's just a great feeling to finally be involved with the team, with the first team, and finally start, you know, MLS games at such a young age. And to me, that's always been a dream of mine, to be a professional soccer player, but to start at such a young age, it was a dream come true. Yeah, I'm kind of hard on myself when it comes to that, but yeah, you know, I feel like my brother taught me that, like, you have to be that way, you know, because if you get content with where you are now, you know, it's very hard to keep going, you know. And I just always have to keep pushing, and that's something my brother and my mom taught me. You know, I have a great family that supports me all the time, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. So as far as self-motivation goes, I've heard that some of the players in the academy and stuff, they set like their 1, 2, or 3 year goals, and you know, they want to be on the national team or this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. Did you have any of those goals coming up through the academy? And if so, what were they?
Yeah. I mean, when I was with the academy, I was training with, you know, the first team pretty regularly. And then I had Weston. I'm sure you guys know who Weston McKinney is. And he was training with me as well. And to me, like, we were not two stars, but I mean, looking at him and how hard he worked to get there, I was always a step behind him, you know. And I realized in my journey that, you know, you can't be focusing on other people. You always have to be focusing on yourself, because there are things other people are going to be able to do that you can't. And Weston was a great example of that. This guy was 16 years old, was dominating the first team training, and everyone was just looking at him like he's crazy, you know? But I mean, I would say the self goals, you have to be able to decide for yourself. You can't have someone else trying to motivate you and you not be motivated. It all depends on what you think and your personal goals that will set you apart from the rest.
For sure. So you get to college, you decide mm-hmm. to go to college. And you decide to go to grow your game. You know, some people, like especially abroad, kind of, you know, poo-poo on the college soccer scene here in the United States. What is it that you learned or that you progressed the most at whenever you were playing for UCLA?
I mean, the attacking aspect was definitely the biggest part of my development at UCLA, for sure. And, gotcha. You know, And I mean, these guys are just pushing me. You need to go forward. You can keep going forward. You can do it. You can do it. And I was convinced that I could keep going, you know, and the attacking ability was definitely the biggest part. Was the biggest part I acquired at UCLA because, I mean, the defensive aspect I've always had, I've always wanted to be a defender, you know, but it's hard to attack as a defender. I mean, getting forward, you can't get forward like Mikey Barrios and a Rudy do. That's the hard part, you know? And to me, that was something I needed to acquire when I was at UCLA, which is why I thought I wasn't ready to sign at the beginning. And I was, you know, I think I was right in that decision looking back at it now that I was not ready to sign at that moment because I couldn't make a difference, you know? But I mean,
what did you major in when you were there? Or did you have
computer science?
Yeah. Computer science. I'm a web developer, so.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Yeah, I've always wanted to major in the computer science, and it was tough.
Yeah, it can be challenging, but you know what? Everybody's got their own calling, and sounds like yours is on the pitch at this point. So give me a call if you know you decide to hang up the boots. We'll get you hooked up.
Of course, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so you're at UCLA and you get it. Does FC Dallas call you and say, "Hey, we really want you to reconsider that contract," or like talk through your decision to leave UCLA and sign that homegrown contract?
I mean, I had a meeting with Oscar and I told him like I personally don't think I'm ready, and you know Oscar felt that you know I wasn't ready, I wasn't prepared, but he saw something in me that would make me a different player than just signing a player to have him as a homegrown, you know. And me being 19 years old, I'm thinking, what is this kid, or 17 years old, me thinking, what is this guy, like, what does he see in me? Like, I'm just an academy player, you know? But, I mean, I had a meeting with him, and he was really motivating to me. He said, you know, I really respect your decision, and I think you're going to develop into a really good player, and we're going to value that decision, and we're going to monitor you and see how you're doing at college. And yeah, that's all how it started.
Gotcha. So there's been a lot of talk recently about FC Dallas getting a USL team. If they would have had that USL team 2-3 years ago, do you still think you would have made that decision to go to college, or do you think you would have tried to go the USL route?
I think I would have still taken the college decision, to be honest. I mean, USL is a great option for people who aren't playing, you know. But it's at some point it's very hard to get out of, very hard to get out of, you know. And I think that's something that the FC Dallas does really well. I mean, they manage the players that aren't playing, so they have confidence to be able to do that job when they're called upon. Because FC Dallas does give people chances for sure. It's just tough to be patient. I guess is what you have to say.
It's kind of interesting how FC Dallas will have all the players back in training for the week, and then they'll ship them off to their loan teams on the weekends. Being a English soccer fan, it's always just a season long loan or a half a season loan, and you just ship them off, and there you see them. So it's really interesting to for me at least. Okay, so you mentioned, you know, last season was pretty tough. You know, you got into maybe like one game or so. What about that season did you learn the most, and what about it prepared you for this season?
Last year I was kind of just learning from what Atiba and Grano were doing. You know, I mean, these guys, Grano was one of the best right backs in the league, playing in the All-Star game. And, you know, and Oscar told me to just watch what he does, you know, and maybe Grano wasn't as strong defensively, but this guy was like an attacking machine. He would be able to get up and down the field as many times as possible, you know. And Oscar told me that's what makes a fullback dangerous. That's what makes a fullback an MLS fullback or a world-class fullback, is when they can do both jobs. They can do it defensively, which is what Atiba was better at, and then on the offensive side, which Ghana was better at. And I looked at them and I said, I want to kind of be a mix between the two. You know, I want to be able to do both jobs. I want to be an attacker and a strong defender on 1v1 who's able to create those opportunities. And Atiba told me last year, he said, just keep going, man. I know it's tough. And he's been in this situation before. He said, just keep going because you never know when your time will come. Could be earlier, could be later, but you just have to keep your head up and keep going.
Yeah. So this year rolls around and you start the teams, it starts looking like you're going to get some more playing time once Grana goes. I guess you'd kind of spent the last year with the first team as well, but I guess my question is so now that you're a pro, you've signed that homegrown contract. What's something that has surprised you about being around the first team and being a professional soccer player? And what's something that would surprise fans to know about that?
I mean, it's a crazy life. And honestly, like, you know, I don't want to say dropping out of school cause I didn't, but I'm saying leaving from school early, it's not a decision that can be made just on a dime. Like, it's not for everyone. And this life especially is not for everyone. And a lot of people look at this life saying, oh, it's easy. You know, it's great to be a professional soccer player, but they also forget how hard you had to work to get here. And the pressure that comes with it, you know, and the pressure is a big part of it. I mean, you have people that, I was thinking about it this weekend, like now that the bar is set, people are expecting you to perform to that level every time you step on the field, you know, and you got to find a way to deal with that. And that's where setting your own expectations for yourself comes in, that you have to block out all those other expectations for you, whether they be really high or really low. You just have to set your own goals and set your own expectations to, I think, succeed at a higher level.
For sure. So you're one of the younger guys in the first team now. I think there's a couple more homegrowns that are younger than you, but you know, as far as in the locker room on game day and everything, how much banter do the younger guys get from the older guys on the squad? Like, what's that relationship? Is it more jovial? Is it kind of like, hey, I'm a lot of ribbing or?
Yeah, it's a weird disconnect, but we get over it. Like some people will be talking about like taking their kids to school or waking up in the middle of the night, taking care of their daughters and stuff. And I'm like, I can't really relate to that, you know, 19
getting
years
up
old.
And playing Fortnite in the middle
of
the night.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just here playing video games. I can't really relate to that, but I mean, those barriers, I mean, they help us learn and help us grow, you know, and even though they'll introduce us to some music they listened to back in the day, we'll introduce them to some music today. And, you know, it's kind of a mix of different cultures, you know, and it's good experience that we're getting as young guys that we get to hear about these guys' daily lives and them taking care of their children, wives and all this. And it's a great thing to take back with you when you go home.
Yeah. Always good to have good male role models in your life. And I'm sure it's fun to say, Hey, Minor, have you ever heard of Lil Windex?
Exactly.
who's more demanding, or what's more demanding, Oscar in the practice schedule or dealing with the press and the other things that go around soccer?
I would definitely say Oscar in the practice schedule. They definitely manage our lows very well, but when it's time to train, it's super intense and super inclusive. And there's not really a place to hide, which is quickly scouted out, I should say. If you're trying to hide, the team will easily be found out. Like, it's super intense, super, you know, and trainings may be longer than, say, because I went to the Byron's Reserves when I was in, or last November, and the trainings over there were super short. They were max hour 15, you know, and sometimes we'll be out there 2 hours. But I mean, to me, Oscar's training and mindset is just a lot different, and it's not a bad thing. Definitely not a bad thing. But his trainings are a lot more intense and a lot more tactical focused, whether it be 8v8 or skill work, ball work. He always finds a way to angle it towards the game on the weekend, you know, and it always helps us get our mind straight.
Yeah. I think I've been out to a couple of practices and man, I'm glad I have a desk job.
Yeah. Some people seem to forget that they just see the games and that's all they see. But man, if you guys saw the trainings, I'm sure a lot of people would see how hard it is.
All right. So now you're in the first team. You're playing every week. You're playing against, you know, some big names out there. I think most notably there was the incident in the tunnel with Ashley Cole, and you tweeted mm-hmm. out, work until your idols become your rivals. So Ashley was yelling at Reto.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And you were trying to play the,
a lot of people were like thinking he was yelling at me, and I know the picture definitely looks like it that way, but he was instigating Reto because an incident that happened at the end of the first half was the ball kind of hit Reto on the shoulder, and actually Cole thought it hit off of him, and he was asking him to tell the ref the truth, and he kept getting closer trying to instigate a fight, and you know, I was just pushing him away because I was just trying to get in the locker room prepared for the next half, you know, and I was just trying to get 3 points, but just trying to instigate Reto into a fight. And you know, Reto's definitely been through this before. I mean, he has a lot more experience than I do, but you know, I just thought I would step in and just not let anything escalate.
Yeah. I guess some of those older guys, you know, play like, I guess the meta gaming, you know, where the game within the game where they're trying to get in your head. Like, is that something that you'd want to add to your repertoire, or are you just focused on just, you know, getting job done moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just focused on getting the job done. I mean, just getting 3 points and getting the win, you know.
Gotcha. Recently we had Buzz Carrick from the Third Degree blogger, I guess, website or on, and he talked about the staff working with you on, you know, kind of when to bomb forward, when to stay back, and you know. Mm-hmm. Besides, you know, you kind of talked about wanting to move to work on your attacking game, be that all around defender. Anything else that you're working and you're wanting to improve on, or is that mainly it?
I mean, now I would be, I'm starting to work on that final touch in the final third for getting more assists. You know, I mean, I've gotten up plenty of times and, you know, I end up making a simple decision most of the time, but I'm trying to get out of that comfort show. You know, now that I feel I can succeed in this league and be one of the best right backs in the league, I want to start, you know, assisting and getting those, being part of those plays and creating shots. And, you know, I've always struggled with getting that final cross to someone's feet on our team. You know, it's always been deflected or it's a accuracy problem. And I'm just personally been working on that. And, you know, I think I'm going to get a lot more accurate on my cross and we'll start seeing some more assists.
Excellent. I think I can speak for everybody when we're looking forward to that. And,
good.
All right. So that's pretty much all the questions I have for you. I think we'll step into some listener questions now. So, Harrison Crow from American Soccer Analysis, he asks, looking at all the data that's out there, with around sports these days, how many of the sources do you specifically see any benefit to? And do you do anything to leverage the data and analytics that are around soccer these days?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question, but I mean, I completely understand. Like, it's easy for people to see, oh, this guy's doing well, he scored this amount of goals, or this guy's done well, he's gotten a lot of assists. But I think football's a lot more than stats. I mean, you can't be in NFL or the NBA, you can see someone's played well because of the stats, you know, but in soccer, it's a completely different game. And I think the coaches, we wear the bras during the game to see how much we run, and they try to angle us at a certain distance, you know, and, you know, naturally the center mids or the outside backs will run the most, you know, and the wingers, or the nine, you know, and naturally they want us to get to a certain amount because they want us to be able to, for example, me to be able to attack and defend. And if they see me at a certain distance, they'll know that, you know, every game's different, but they'll know that, I've done the job watching the film and on that data part. But I would say the numerical data is honestly not used that much, at least for FC Dallas. You know, they try to, you know, manage our load with how much we ran and everything, but in the grand scheme of things, it's honestly not that important.
I guess that brought up another question in my mind, with the bibs and managing the running. Do they have you guys on like individualized nutrition plans, or anything like that? How do they?
No, I mean, they trust us to eat well, and being a professional athlete is part of your job, you know, and eat well, rest well. They gave us schedules, but at the end of the day, it's up to you, you know. But I'm no doubt that we rest well, we eat well, we sleep well, we hydrate well. I mean, that's just part of being a professional athlete, you know.
You can hydrate well when you're sponsored by Advocare.
Exactly.
I'm sure that stuff flows in abundance.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. Austin Banks asks, he has a couple questions. So we'll start with the first one. What are your top three Zelda games or top three games of all time?
Oh, that's tough. Okay. For me, the top three Legend of Zelda games, number one would definitely be Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I mean, this was one of the best installations in the series since Ocarina of Time. And number two is going to have to be Ocarina of Time for me. It was groundbreaking at the time, you know. and number three, it would have to be Majora's. No, it would have to be A Link Between Worlds for me. That game was unbelievable. Majora's Mask is close, but I think A Link Between Worlds takes it.
Gotcha. I was never a Zelda fan. I was into like GoldenEye and those games when I was a kid.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to take your word for it. I have zero opinion on Zelda. So I don't know if that's a hot take or not. okay. So the rest of his questions kind of give back towards soccer. So he wants to know why UCLA over some of the other colleges out there.
I looked at UCLA and I thought these guys were producing professional athletes or professional soccer players, I should say, like no other, you know, and these guys, like even my freshman year we had, I don't remember how many it was, like seven or eight players go professional. I mean, they were just a breeding ground for professional athletes. And I really think seeing that they were going to help me in my journey, kink out the things in my game that I need to work on and iron out those last little bits. So I think UCLA was a great choice.
Gotcha. Yeah. It appears so. So what are your thoughts on the 2020 Olympics? Is that a goal for you or have you given it much thought?
You know, I honestly haven't given it much thought. You know, I see some of my friends, my age group, getting called up to the national team for friendlies here and there, and, you know, I'm happy for them. But, I mean, honestly, right now, I'm just figuring out my own timeline. I'm just going from game to game, you know, and hopefully down the road, that'll be an option for me.
Yeah, let the future take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. And let's see here. Houston Oates asks, do you like the new He's Our Cannon, Come and Take It chant?
Oh yeah, I heard that. I think I heard that too. It was so good. Oh my god, I was like surprised to hear my name. Like I've never heard my name in around a stadium before. It's honestly ecstatic. It's such a good feeling. But yeah, I love it. Any chant that involves my name, I will be sure to love.
You know, you've made it when you get your own chant. good chant, not good chant, obscenities. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it could be. You could have made it if you. You know, if the people hate you.
People hate you chanting in the crowd.
okay, so Holden Grant wants to know, what was it like playing against Zlatan?
Oh, man, I get that question asked a lot. I mean, you could tell in the game that this guy was just winning everything in the air. He was honestly, I mean, there's only one word to describe him. The guy was a beast on the field. And I know it's easy to say that, oh, we got like, you know, we got the 3 points at the end of the day. But honestly, he was one of the biggest threats I've faced so far because he would win everything in the air. And we have players that are able to run off of him because he's going to win that first ball for the second ball. He becomes one of the most dangerous players I've ever played against by far. This guy was crazy. It was a really good experience though. I thought I developed a lot from that.
For sure. Okay. So, he also wants to know what the toughest part of being an MLS player is. I think we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but is there anything, beyond that, that's just sticks out as something that really is, annoying or tough that you deal with?
Yeah, I would say, honestly, the toughest thing about being an MLS player is getting discouraged when you, I mean, you know, my goal is to be one of the best right backs, if not the best right back in the world one day. And it's so easy to get discouraged and say, oh, but look at these guys, they're overseas and they're killing it. And, And it's easy to see things like that, you know, and say, oh, well, this guy's playing for the reserves of this team and I'm only playing for MLS. And, you know, it's a fact that MLS isn't the highest level of a play. But I honestly think that it's gotten a lot closer over the years and it's gotten a lot more tactical, a lot more technical than it was when people were judging it or comparing it to La Liga and the Premier League, you know. And I think MLS is developing at a great rate. And I think, like, even now we're producing players that are going to go overseas at the age of 19, you know, and I think it's become a really great league to play in. But it is easy to get discouraged at some point, but you just have to keep your head up.
I think Carter mentioned it earlier today that you could be a motivational speaker. You've got that down, man.
Yeah, I got something. I don't know what it is, but I got it.
You've got it. The proverbial it. Okay. So the last question we got for you, comes from Marcus Cole. I assume you watch a lot of soccer, football on TV, outside of FC Dallas.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite right back or anyone that you try to emulate in your own play style?
I would say my favorite right back is Danny Alves, but for me, I can't really play like Danny Alves because to me, he's a pure attack minded right back. You know, I'm not saying lacks defensively, but I think he's just more attack minded, it can be a dangerous mindset for a defender, you know? But the right back that I think is one of the best right backs. You just have to be Danny Alves. I mean, the guy is just unbelievable. Like, it's easy to say, oh yeah, you know, having attacking mind as a defender is dangerous. But when you attack like that, you can't have that. You know, I mean, this guy would be assisting every other game, and the guy was just insane. So he's definitely my favorite right back.
Gotcha. Yeah, I watch. I'm a Liverpool fan. I watch a lot of their games. I see a lot of similarities between you and Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Great player. Unbelievable.
More than
player.
Just that you're both 19, but yeah. All right. Well, that's all I've got for you.
Awesome.
We want to say good luck. Thanks for coming on. Good luck this week. I guess it's Friday going up against Toronto. Well, I guess one more question. What are you guys preparing for most against Toronto?
I would just say we're preparing to attack the flanks like we did against Vancouver. And I think once we switched formations with the 4-3-3 with Lamont in the middle, we started to open up space out wide. And I think that's going to be the same game plan going against Toronto to be able to create those 2v1 situations wide. And, you know, I think that's going to be a crucial part going into them.
Awesome. Well, best of luck, man. We hope you have a good rest of the season. Excellent game on Friday. And thank you so much again for joining us. I know
no problem.
Busy man.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad to be here.